Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sherm here, the Crazy Asian. Hope you're having a fantastic now, the moment that you listen to this. Hope everything's going well for all of you out there. I'm just reminded of some of the tough things that people go through as they share their story with me, and they maybe recount some of the tough spots that they had in their past. And so I think a lot of people, they struggle in their career. We'll spend about 40 hours a week minimum, typically for most folks working full-time, and you'll do that for 50 weeks out of the year. There's 52, so you do that simple math, 40 times 50, that's 2,000 hours, and you multiply that up over 40 years, let's say from, you know, age 65 to, you know, from 25, or, you know, it could be even longer, depending on how long you work. And so 40 times 2,000 is 80,000 hours. And so today in career progression, I want to come from the perspective of what we're living in right now, this era of January 2019 with unbelievably low unemployment. We've had a great run in the economy, basically 10 years of nice growth after the Great Recession. In the United States, a major collapse of the housing market due to some subprime mortgages. Won't go into any detail there, but that's what caused a lot of that downfall, these financial packages, which were based on this assumption that these houses could continually get paid, even though they were subprime, not ideal, not exactly what you want from a standpoint of consistency. And so as interest rates rose, then all of a sudden people couldn't afford their houses, and it just had created a struggle. And the reason why I give that as a backdrop is because, number one, is I find a lot of people, they find themselves in a situation where there's this very dissatisfied. And right now, if you're an employee, you have the opportunity to truly start moving your career the way that you want to. It is an employee marketplace right now. In the United States, you typically have around a 4.5 unemployment rate, where right now, if you're a college graduate, it's somewhere close to around 2 or 2.1%. In other words, it's harder for employers to find those right candidates. The other thing that plays a role here is if you're the overall unemployment, depending on where you are in the United States, is somewhere close between 3% or 2%. And so as a recruiter for somebody in the marketplace hiring, you have to do it differently. The other thing that I had recently read is that there's a lack of somewhere close to around 20 to 30,000 CDL drivers. Those are people that can drive big rigs, 18-wheelers. In England, they call them lorries. In the United States, we call them semis. And that gap is immense. Right now, when I was talking to some recruiters, if you have a CDL license in the United States, you can basically write your ticket. In other words, you can command your salary. You can tell people what you want to get paid, and they're almost willing to pay it. It is amazing that there's that huge of a gap in the marketplace. That's just one example. There's multitudes across the board, and it has to change the way that we might be pursuing candidates. So you have to think outside the box as you look at your hiring process. So let's come from that perspective. If I'm an HR, I have that hat on, and this will be valuable for you if you're an employee looking for a change, because when you can get into their psyche, you can then look at how you can kind of get on the outside. So number one is look at what you're doing from a process perspective, whether that's you as an organization or you hiring out to another organization. What are you actually doing to be able to get someone from, you know, whether they're a referral, whether they're an internal candidate or they're external, where are you sourcing all those external candidates? And how are you finding out the character of that individual? Look at your questions that you're asking. Are you finding the character of that individual when things aren't going well? Too often we ask about their successes, which are already on their resume typically, or they're going to be able to tell us exactly how they did really well. Tell us when you struggled. Tell us when things didn't go well. How did you react then? What was your attitude like? Were you still thoughtful? Were you still friendly? Did you still think that the customer was always right when they were screaming at you in obscenities and other inappropriate language? Did that still motivate you to give the best service possible? That's the question you want to be asking those individuals, because anyone can shine on their best day. It's what's their attitude and response when things aren't going the right way? And that's very indicative of who they are when the chips are down and when the sun is shining. The other thing that, so as an employee, let's jump there real quickly to understand, is that some companies use outsized hiring. So if, let's say, for example, you're talking to a manufacturing company, they might have HR that focuses on the entry level, maybe internal promotions from within. But for anything above that, let's say kind of middle manager and up, they might be using an outside recruiting service to be able to help them find candidates and to sift through candidates, because they're strapped with more compliant and internal HR issues that they want to focus in on. And so that makes it more difficult for an employee to get into maybe that position. And so it becomes extremely important to be able to truly network out there, get known, and know the different recruiters out there and the different staffing agencies, the different headhunters, because when you know them, they'll be able to tell you the different opportunities. The other thing I think about, so if I look at my process, where am I sourcing these people from? If I'm only doing it on LinkedIn, if I'm only doing it face-to-face, I'm missing out. So one of the difficulties of networking, of course, is that people are typically referring people that might not be in a recruiting perspective. So it might be a friend of yours who is a middle manager somewhere, but isn't in the business of recruiting. Or if you get it from another recruiter, why didn't they recruit that person? If they were such a great candidate, why didn't they come over to your team? The other thing when it comes to online, the struggle is that, again, someone can paint the picture of what it looks like, or they don't know how to paint the picture, so you might be turning away from someone when in reality, they could be a good candidate for you. The struggle with resumes is that a lot of times they read more like a job description instead of a list of accomplishments. I don't need to know that you answered emails, but I need to know that you were able to deliver a particular project. Maybe you're part of the team that did a project of, a new install with computer software, and you did it early and you did it under budget. Those are important things for me to know. If you're, coming in as a computer programmer, I kind of assume that in a day in and day out basis that you have the ability to get the job done. You know what I mean? So instead of your resume reading like a bunch of bullet points of things that you did daily, think of it as, what did you accomplish? What were the results that you got? That's what is important for a recruiter or someone that is in the hiring mentality. So once you get someone in, how are you interviewing them? If there's multiple interview steps, can you get rid of all those interview steps and just bring a panel and just get those three people or those four people at one time interview that person? Having them come in and come out, there could be value in that. Sometimes you're just juggling people's calendars. Other times it's easier just to say, hey, let's get the team together who's going to be in part of this interview process. Let's have a panel interview, kind of, in a sense, kind of grill this candidate and see if they're worth bringing on. And that can be a way to kind of mix things up. The other thing, have a look at those interview questions. Besides, asking for failures or mistakes or, dealing with irate customers, get to know the person. What are their hobbies? A lot of times you can tell what someone is like by not what they're doing in their daily activity. So, for example, just use an analogy, is what does an eagle do after it's kind of gotten its food? It still continues to soar at high heights. A pig, after it's done eating and, it'll jump in the mud. And so what is your future employee doing when they're not at work. That's important. They're taking the kids to different practice. You have a family guy. You have a woman that hangs out with her friends at bars and parties. You have a party girl. Those are people's hobbies, which they enjoy spending a lot of time in. That really is a telltale sign of who they truly are. And does that fit your company culture? Are you a work hard, play hard kind of mentality? Or is it a come in, get the job done, we'll see you tomorrow? Some companies like that kind of camaraderie, the family atmosphere, we're going to go grab a drink after work kind of attitude. Others are, let's stay active. Let's go for a team run. I knew a team that went and did a Tough Mudder together where, it's an obstacle course with some different, with obstacle course with running in between and electrocuting, little electrocutions at the end. And that was what was motivating to the team. So somebody watching this, so someone hearing about that who's really into fitness might align with that kind of company culture. After you do the interview process, how do you analyze that data as you go head to head with one person over the other? What is that process? Are you talking to the front desk person? Are you talking to Zappos? Nonetheless, the shoe company. What they would do is the visitor parking for those that are interviewing is far away, so the shuttle driver would pick that person up, and their interview process started there. So how they treated that bus driver had a heavy weight on whether that person came on board or not. We do the same thing at my firm. Our front desk administrator, she will let us know what did that person do while they were waiting, how did they speak to them, and did they talk to them on the way out. We're in a social business. If you don't see someone in a room and want to talk with them, we might not be seeing things eye to eye when it comes to how we like to engage with people. We love people and we love chatting with them and we love hearing their story. And we want people we want that to be their natural inclination, that they want to be able to engage with people in that capacity. Then finally, when it comes to an employee, when you're applying, do it different ways. Don't just apply online and align your resume bullet points to use the same language. So if they talk about leading a team, instead of using the word manage, then you talk about leading versus manage. If they talk about delivering on specific metrics, you talk about delivering on specific metrics. We're not talking about making things up. We're talking about using the same key words that they're using, so that way the key words will align with your resume. So if I'm an employee, number one, understand that you have a little bit of leverage right now, January 2019. So you have to apply in multitude of different ways. So you can do it online. You want to go face to face. You can do the drop-in. You can find if you're in a small community, the old school newspaper that might have an ad. Even a trade magazine might give you an idea of who's looking out there and what you can be doing. Next one is there's some different workshops around town. Either workforce development is a great place. Sometimes Goodwill gets involved with employment depending on how large your city is. There's different staffing agencies you can go to and network with those individuals, and they might be looking for something that's not in your realm of, let's say they're looking for like an hourly associate to work in a manufacturing and you're looking for a middle manager job. Their job though is to talk with companies and find out what they're looking for to hire to see if they'll use that staffing company. So they're great people to have in your network to know about what's going on. It truly is not about how much you know, it's about who you know. They're going to know the different opportunities that are going to arise a lot of times before they're going to be posted on or right after they're posted up online. A lot of times those HR recruiters maybe came from a staffing company. And so they might reach out to the staffing company and say, hey, just so you know, we have this position. If you see anybody that kind of fits this mold. Huge opportunity. I'm surprised that people don't have more staffing in their network, staffing individuals. Actually, you know, I can do a post on that on LinkedIn. Extremely crucial, valuable person to have in your network. And by being able to have the right people in your network, you're going to find out about the right opportunities. In today's marketplace, we have to go about applying differently. You cannot just do it online. Do it in a multitude of different ways. Get out of your house, get away from the coffee shop, and go talk to people. Heck, I know people that have literally tweeted that they will work for a company that they want to work for, a person that they want to work for, and say, I'll do it for free. I just want the exposure. And they know that if in a week or two, if they can showcase their skill sets and talents, that they can get hired. Think about what you want to be doing and then go do it. Don't let it be said of you at the end of your career, I wish I had the gumption, I wish I had the courage to do what truly moved me, what was my passion. Now is a perfect time because we're living in such an amazing time for an employee to find the job that they want, and oftentimes with the company that they want. Sherm's out.